let's begin, shall we, with our third lecture, our third section. We remember the goal. What's the goal? Our children's what?
Success.
We're always thinking about our children's success. That's where we're going. Not so mommy doesn't get a headache. Not so you're not embarrassed at family reunions. Not so that you're sitting on your hands at award ceremonies watching everybody else get stuff. Those are all positive byproducts. But the goal is your child's success. So we're going to look now at rod and fractions, and specifically, let's look at rod and fractions, and specifically the use of the rod. So that's where we're going. We're going from the concept to the application, step by step. So let's look at it. Rod and fractions. We use the rod from 9 months to 12 or puberty, whichever came first. That's when we use them. If the child is old enough to do wrong, then the child is old enough to be disciplined and have the foolishness driven out. Why is he old enough to throw his food at you, but not old enough to swallow it? Why is he old enough to crawl or run away, but not old enough to come? Why is he old enough to scream at you because he doesn't want to go to bed, and not old enough to go to bed and stay in bed quietly? Why? You can, Why is he old enough to not share with his brothers or sisters, but not old enough to share with his brothers or sisters? Why is he old enough to fight, but not old enough to be conned? Why is he old enough to yank on you, your earrings, to yank on your necklace, to yank on your dog's ear, to grab your lip and pull on it, or to grab at your dog's tail or your cat, but not old enough to be gentle? We would teach our children. We'd take their hand, rub it on mommy's face, say, be gentle, rub it on the dog. Be gentle. And we would teach them that word, that gentle. And they can be gentle. Because in our home, we were raising Christian ladies and Christian gentlemen. And that was the goal. That's the direction we are moving to. So, Luke 12:47-48 says, "And that slave who knew his master's will and did not get ready or act in accord with his will shall receive many lashes. But the one who did not know it and committed deeds worthy of flogging will receive few." And as Eleanor and I would read through the Bible in terms of God's discipline, God the Father's discipline of his nation Israel, and God the Father's discipline of Christians, we noticed something, that there were levels of discipline. And the Bible doesn't say this, but our devotional application for that was to come up for some levels of discipline with our children. The Bible doesn't say this. This is what we did. You don't have to do this. Our first level of discipline was training. That, we call that the training stroke. That was one stroke. That's instructing a child in a task or responsibility. We all know people who, when they're given work, I know that when I was teaching, I knew it when I was in on staff with the navigators, I knew it when I was in the pastorate of a church. I knew that there were certain people, when I gave them a responsibility and they agreed to it, I knew I was going to finish it. I just knew it. And I prepared for it. Because they had never learned to finish a task. Is it a good wisdom and life skill for your children at an early age to learn how to be given a task, to work independently and quietly on their own until the task is finished? Is that a good skill or a bad skill? Will that help them be successful in school? If they join a sports team, will it help them be successful in sports team? If they're in scouting, will it help them be successful? No. If they're in the church Awanas group, will it help them be successful? If they take up a musical instrument or join an extracurricular activity at school,
some club or something. Will it help them be successful? Yes, it will. So, well, that's what we worked on them. That's one training space. An example of this is cleaning the room. Okay? Little Hezekiah, he's in his room, and he's playing with the Legos. Kids still play with Legos? Legos, okay. So they're playing with the Legos. There's a little Legos box. He's playing with the Legos. I would come by the room. And I usually try to give my kids, you know, a little notice on stuff like this. I like getting a little notice if I can get it. So I'd say, Hezekiah, look at me, son. He'd look at me. Sweetheart, yeah, buddy, in about 10, 15 minutes, you're going to be called to dinner. So go ahead and get the room cleaned up. So little Hezekiah starts putting up the Legos. I can hear him go again, clank, clank, because then I'll clank, clank. You know, and then I see his older sister has got the table set, and it looks like it's about time to be called, so I'm about to go up there and tell him, okay, now wash up, comb your hair, come to the table. And he's there, and what Hezekiah has found is he's found the little Lego cowboy guy with the little hat, and half the horse was made. And there was a little corral, and about a third of that was made. And he had forgotten about those guys. So he's busy assembling the horse and getting that corral finished. And I say, Hezekiah, what are you doing?
Picking up.
He said, no, Hezekiah, you're not picking up. What are you doing? What are you doing, son? Look me in the eye. What are you doing?
Playing.
That's right, Hezekiah. You're playing. That's one stroke. Because when I'm training Hezekiah to start a task and finish it unsupervised. And then I would say, lie on your bed, put your hands on your cheek. And then we have a process that we teach them. We would instruct, discipline, one stroke, instruct, restore. And that's the process we use. Instruct, discipline, instruct, restore. Why are you getting spanked? Why are you getting your spank, Hezekiah?
I was playing!
No, Hezekiah, it's not because you're playing. Mommy plays, Daddy plays. Playing is good. Playing is a gift from God. But what did Daddy say?
Pick up!
Did you obey Daddy?
No.
Why are you getting the spank?
Obey.
That's right. Say, I will obey Daddy.
Obey Daddy.
Say, first time. Okay, one stroke, Hezekiah. Now, is Hezekiah worried about what I'm going to do? He knows exactly what it is. In fact, I have one child who is a negotiator. I say, okay, that's three.
Oh, no, I didn't understand. That is just one.
No.
Well, maybe two. Let's disobey.
No. That's three. So we have a little negotiating here. That's all right. God says, come, let us reason together. So, one stroke. Pop. The wind struck. Calm down a little bit. What happened?
Obey Daddy!
That's right. Then I restore. Holding, kissing, calming down. If it's convenient, I would take him over to Eleanor and say, tell Mommy what you can do.
I can obey!
Mommy, that's fine for you. You can obey. I say, okay, now it's okay. Finish clean. Finish picking up your litter.
Okay!
What a good boy. And then I go on. You see that? That would be one stroke. We call that the training spank. Okay. Level two is when a child disobeys. We use two strokes for that. That's a willful decision on the part of the child to not obey. That's a decision. It's not a distraction. It's not just kind of running out of steam, but it's a decision. Hezekiah, pick up your Legos. Okay. Then he hears Rahab watching VeggieTales on TV, and he hasn't seen, you know, the Cucumber Pirate one, or, you know, we didn't have VeggieTales when my kids were growing up, but they're like tomatoes and cucumbers, and they have a series, don't they? So I get them for my grandkids, like Jonah, the tomato, and things like that. Isn't there an asparagus in there, too? Good stuff. So anyway, he hasn't seen this one. So he gets up, and he goes in there, and he sits down to watch it. Hezekiah, what are you doing?
But I didn't get to see this! And Rahab's giving me to watch it, and I don't want her to watch it without me! me get into one, so that's not fair.
Well, he's decided to disobey you, hasn't he? He's decided. That's a decision. That's not a distraction. Do what Daddy said. Do something fun. Remember, work, none of the same consonants, none of the same vowels, none of the same syllables, none of the same prefixes, none of the same suffixes. It's a completely, absolutely, 100% different word than the word fun. So we teach our children that. No, this isn't fun time. This is work time. You need to finish it. So that would be two strokes. Instruct. Why are you getting two strokes?
I was watching TV.
No. No, you weren't watching TV. Tell the truth. Why are you doing it?
I didn't pick up.
What did Daddy say?
Daddy said obey.
Okay, say I will obey Daddy quickly the first time. Then the two strokes. Now you instruct again. Then you restore. Then you restore. Doesn't it confuse your children when you've instructed them and disciplined them and instructed them, now all of a sudden you're hugging and kissing them? Doesn't that confuse them? No. What confuses them is you've instructed them, you've disciplined them, you've instructed them, they have confessed, they're compliant, they're in total agreement with you, but it's not enough. That's when people grow weary in well-doing. Bible says, do not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season you will reap if you do not lose heart. And when a child decides that no matter what they do, they're not going to reap their parents' approval anyways, then it becomes, why bother? That's like with teenagers. If everything is wrong, then nothing is wrong. That's with teenagers. Well, you know, drug rock is wrong, you know. But really, even what the world considers as nice rock is wrong too, because the Beach Boys smoke dope and stuff like that. And I'll tell you, easy listening music, that's wrong too, because all the jazz musicians and those guys, they were all drug addicts. And plus classical music, you know, those people were all hedonists. And Christian music, well, you know, Sandy Patty and all those other women, they all got divorced. And, you know, the guys all wear long hair, so that's wrong too. And the church music, and besides that, our pastor can't even pick, music minister can't even pick out decent songs that we like. Well, all of a sudden, your teenager's going to decide, hey, everything's not right. So I'll make my own decisions. So they'll lose heart. They'll grow weary in well-doing because they just can't please mom and dad. Well, that process begins at a very young age, when even though they receive instruction, they are disciplined, they accept the instruction, they acknowledge, they conform to your will, the foolishness is gone, there's still no restoration. That's wrong. That's wrong, isn't it? The father of the prodigal son wrapped him in his arms and kissed him. And that's what we do to our children who come back from the pigs to us. Even though they're Lego pigs, we still do that. Okay. Number three. Oops. Number three. Rebellion. That's three strokes. Rebellion. Rebellion is a face-to-face confrontation. It's a decision on who is in control. It is a blatant no, a temper tantrum. It's running or walking away, kicking or throwing. Okay, little Hezekiah, 10 minutes to dinner. Pick up your Legos.
No! I don't want to pick up! No, I want to play! I don't want to pick up!
No, Hezekiah, look at me!
No, I don't want to!
Okay, Hezekiah, come here!
No, I don't want to!
Okay, Hezekiah, come to your bed!
No!
And he falls on the ground. No, he picks up a...
I just don't want to! He picks it up and throws it.
No, that's rebellion. Rebellion is a serious sin in God's eyes. Remember a child who won't listen to instruction in Proverbs? Who drives his mother and father away? The ravens will pick out his eyes. That's serious. Whether that means his life will end in death, or it means that in the New Testament, the symbol of satanic blindness and spiritual blindness are ravens who come and snatch the seed. However that means, it's not good, is it?
Remember, he was in college ministry, and a businessman named Gene Warr, a Christian businessman, was teaching at our college fellowship, and he was teaching on the workers, you know, and the talents, and they buried them. And one of the students said, "Well, we know you can't lose your salvation. So what does it mean when he's cast out into the darkness?" And Mr. Warr said, "It means don't do that." You're right. It doesn't mean we'll lose your salvation, but you don't want to find out what it means, right? So just be satisfied with this. Don't do that. So when the Bible says the ravens will peck out his eyes, what does it mean? It means don't do that. That should be enough. So rebellion. Don't do that. We don't want our children in that class of disobedient, rebellious children. Remember who's in there with them? The God-haters, right? The slanderers, the murderers, the violent people, and the disobedient children. They're all in that class. It's an act of grace on our part to remove them from that class to those class of children who are under the blessing of God, who will do well and live long on the earth because they are obedient to their parents the first time because of the rod of discipline and the instruction of their parents. Face-to-face confrontation. That we would give them three strokes for that. Now, as we're giving them their strokes, they start kicking. Well, okay, we'll stop. Kicking. Now, sweetheart, kicking, you're disobeying me. You have to be still. So, two strokes for kicking, then we'll come back to rebellion. Putting their hands back there. Sweetheart, you're disobeying me. I said, put your hands on your cheeks. We'll do two strokes for disobeying me, then we'll restore them. Now, back to rebellion. Three strokes for rebellion. We'll just work through it. Because your children need to receive instruction. My son said to me when he was playing varsity baseball, my son said to me when he was in ROTC and a resident assistant in charge of a dorm at University of Texas, my son said to me after his officer's training school, my son said to me as a second lieutenant, my son said to me, "You know, Dad, these guys are their own worst enemies." The other guy's in charge. He holds all the cards. All he has to do is sit there and be yelled at and agree with everything he says and do what he says, and he'll be a success. But these numbskulls are fixing to argue with this guy who can make their life miserable. They're their own worst enemy. Don't they want to play ball? Don't they want a good assignment? Don't they want a paycheck? What's wrong with these guys? Well, that's where they learn to do it, isn't it? When they put their hands on their cheeks and they receive instruction, they receive the discipline, they receive instruction, they're restored and get on with life. All up and down the food chain of life, they'll do better if you give them that gift. That's a gift you give them, isn't it? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Right away, sir. Yes, sir. I will. Yes, coach. You're right, coach. I will. I'm listening, coach. Yes, I will. Okay, you're right, coach. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. On time, next time. You're right. I'm sorry. It was late. I'm sorry. You're right. Yes, ma'am. That's all you have to learn to be successful in life, isn't it? Be wrong. Admit you're wrong. Learn how to do it right. Do it right. Okay? That's not that difficult, is it? But that's a gift you'll give your children. Most people don't know how to do that. They don't know how to say, "Sweetheart, you're right. I was wrong. Please forgive me." That's you to your wife. The wife says, "Darling, darling, you're right. Apologize. That was wrong. Forgive me." It's not that hard, is it? Okay? Then we go to repetition. It's plus one. But not more than, is that five? Greater than or equal to? No, it's less than or equal to five. Not more than five. Don't work up past five. So, they disobey, they get going, and then they just decide, "No, I'm going to do it. I still want to watch that video." Well, you know, three, that's when you say, "You know, buddy, your mom loves me. Dinner's going to wait. You're more important than dinner. It's unfortunate that everybody's going to have to wait for dinner. To tell you the truth, we have all night. If you want to keep getting these spanks, it's up to you. That decision is yours. But I'm not going anywhere. I until you willingly and with a good attitude pick up these Legos. So,
let's just settle in. I'll pull up a chair and I've got the wooden spoon on my lap.
Okay? Where's this going to go? And like I say, if you have to give more than five spanks, then one of two things are generally happening. They're not true strokes, or in the past, you have already set the precedence that you will give in. And so it's worth it. It's worth it. Okay? You've gotten a speeding ticket, but you know, in the back of your mind, the last time you argued with this policeman right there on the side of the road for 30 minutes and he changed his mind. Now it's the same time. 30 minutes is the break-even point, isn't it?
Yeah.
As far as you're concerned. Maybe this time it'll take 45 minutes, but at least you won't have a speeding ticket on your record, so it's worth it, isn't it? Well, your children are just like that. If you're going to give in, then you've set the handicap. You say, I'm going to spot you 45 minutes this time. I said, that's great, Dad. We'll just argue back and forth and fight back and forth on this 45 minutes. Okay, now the starting bell has sounded. Maybe this time it'll take 50. So, no. One of the principles that we have here is when, particularly when, the big one. At some time, as this process goes along, your children will decide they don't like the New World Order. And they will draw a line in the sand, and you have to win that battle. You have to win that battle. You have to be the strong one. You have to be the adult. You have to be the one that gives up your afternoon. You have to be the one that calls the ladies' Bible study and say, you won't be in. You have to be the one that's late to church. You have to be the responsible one. Your husband has to go to work. You don't work outside the home. You pick up. You have to win. Now, let's see. Time's up. Oh, we've been going about 22 minutes. Let me, we eat at noon?
Yeah, it's a 12:05.
That's at least a 12. Let me give you what we call the big five. We would call this the big five. They were no, obey, open, or give, hush, and come. And we would cover these big five before they were 2 years old. That was our goal. One at a time. They're pretty easy. What's no? See, no is that lifeblood. What's that lifeblood? That's a no. That's a no. What's Pastor's Bible? That's a no. That's pretty easy. What's that door? That's a no. This is no. That's very easy. No. Now, I can remember our daughter. She only knew about three words, and she was just barely toddling, and we went over to Grandma's house, and she was so proud because she went around and she pointed at the lifebloods. No. At the plant. No. At the china cabinet. No. She was showing her grandma that she knew no. We're so proud of her. No. Now, we never childproofed our house. Of course, we put away poisons and we put things on the, you know, we put the covers on the plugs. You know, we weren't going to allow our children to learn obedience through their destruction. Does that make sense? So in the sins of childproofing our house in terms of putting things away that could harm them physically, we childproof our house. But we never had a house where everything of value or anything that was special or anything that looked nice or anything like that was always above the reach of our child. And everything below that was covered with crayon marks and footprints and handprints, and we just, you know, kind of gave it up. That was never our house. Because we taught our children no. Taught them no. And they knew what no was. Is this a good wisdom and life skill to be told by somebody in authority at church or at school or in the military or in the job, don't do that and have the self-control not to do it the first time you're told? Is that a good wisdom and life skill? Will that person be successful in church, in school, in the military, or in his job? Yes, they will. So that's a great skill. That's a gift you give them. A gift they'll use for success. Some people never learn that. Didn't I tell you not to do that? Why'd you do it? So I rarely ever had that. I've had that conversation with many people, but almost never with my children. Did I tell you not to do that? Why'd you do that? Because they learned no before they were 2 years old. Obey. Obey is pretty simple. I will obey mommy quickly the first time. No means don't do it. What does obey mean? Do it. Okay. Is that a good wisdom and life skill? To be told to do something by someone in authority and it's a valid request and then to do it? How about come? Sweetheart, come. And your child will either crawl or toddle or walk towards you. One time. Not shouting and screaming. I don't like to shout in my home. I didn't want to grow up in a home that was shouting. I lived in the Northeast for a while, and I lived around some different ethnic families where shouting was kind of the decibel level of normality was shouting. I never enjoyed that. I didn't like it. Eleanor and I don't shout at each other, and we didn't grow up shouting at our kids. And we grow up expecting them to respond in a normal voice. So, say, come, the child comes. With all of our children, there are times, either in the parking lot of Walmart or in the kitchen or somewhere, where their safety was at stake. And we said, Rahab, look at Danny. So, come. And they came to us, and they were prevented from serious injury because of their willingness to come. Will your child come when you ask them to, or they turn around and go the other way? Come, open, give. What's open? Open your mouth. What do you got in there? Mm-hmm. Where's grandma's cancer medicine? I don't know. I think she just swallowed it. Well, off to the emergency room. Sever stomach pump. What's in your hand? Is that mom's pearl earring you just crushed? Is that your Aunt Lois's pearl earring that was on the floor that you found that you just crushed? Did you just break that? So no, your children, if they are asked to open their mouth, stick out their tongue, hand them. I know people who take their children to the doctor, and all the doctor wants to do is look in their ear, look in their mouth, look in their nose, check their heart, get their temperature, and they can't do it. Because your unmannerly, sullen, spoiled, screaming child would rather be seriously ill than submit in the least way to any type of authority. That's foolish, isn't it? That is foolish. So no, doctors were always happy to see our children. Because if they said open their mouth, they open their mouth. They stuck out their tongue, they'd say, stick out their tongue. They would do that. They say, hold still, I'm going to put this up your nose, it's going to be uncomfortable. They would hold still and they would stick it up their nose and it would be uncomfortable. And when they brought the shot in, they would say, is that going to hurt? I'd say, yes, sweetheart, it's going to hurt. It's going to hurt a whole lot, but you're going to feel, it's going to make you better, but you're going to cry. Please don't scream, you're going to cry, and I'm going to stand here and hold you, but you need to hold still so he can give you the shot. And they would. They'd give them a shot. And they would. Hey, I've had tropical diseases where I had to get very weird, hard, syrupy serum shots multiple times. So many times they had to alternate thighs. And I know how bad shots feel. So I don't tell them they don't hurt. And I don't tell, and I cheered up, and I'm a grown man. So of course they're going to cry. But they're not going to throw a fit and kick their leg and break the needle off inside of them. Okay? They're not going to do that. Okay? So your children can do that. They can take their medicine. This is this. Take, now this, we're going to take this liquid. It's an antibiotic. They say it's banana, and Mom and I both tasted it, and it tastes awful, but you have to swallow it anyways, okay? After you get through, we'll give you something else that tastes good. Okay, and they take their medicine. Come on, take your medicine, man. Right? That's because people know that children don't take their medicine. Then when they do take their medicine, doctors and nurses are impressed at what smart, intelligent, well-mannered, above-average children you have. Hush is the last thing. I was reading the biography of Luther, the reformer Luther. I read the biography of the Wesley brothers, great preachers. I've read a number of biographies where at some point in that biography it said, and their mother taught them to cry silently in church. They taught them to hush. And we taught our children to hush. And what hush means is your child is crying for no reason, and you look at the child and you say, hush, and the child goes, Is it a good wisdom and life skill to use screaming and anger and tears to get what you want? Is that a good wisdom and life skill? Is it a good wisdom and life skill to use screaming and anger and tears to punish people? That help them have a good marriage, get along with their brothers and sisters? No. So you teach them to hush. Okay, great. We're through now. We're going to take a break for lunch. While we eat lunch, we'll answer questions. And then, after lunch, we're going to do practical kind of, I would call it kind of role playing. I'm going to show you actually how we spanked and disciplined our children. Then the next lecture after that, we are going to look at 10 wisdom and life skills for your children to learn that are built upon the Big Five. Okay, thank you. Let's close.